trying to stall because I want to be in person, but whatever, we're ready.
All right, recording.
Do we have an agenda?
Yes. We didn't print it out. But the first item is a call to order roll call.
All right, so we're called to order.
Great.
And all three of us are here.
Great.
Next.
Do we have to say our names for the record?
Sure.
Fine, if you want to be official about it. So I'm Christian Bryant, and I'm here. Your turn.
Katrina Holland, I'm here.
Ian here.
Okay. So the first thing we had on the agenda was meeting management, so I wanted to put time at the beginning of this meeting to talk about the last RSC meeting and open space if any of the three of you wanted to talk about what tools or tactics you want to use to manage meetings, and if there's anything that we as staff can be doing to better support you.
I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm wondering if there are some, if we may want to talk about time limits when people are talking, and maybe establish some, maybe not necessarily rules or guidelines, but at least some expectation of what back and forth can happen, because it feels like the last several meetings, and I'm guilty of this too, like somebody asks a question, another person answers, and then they respond, another person responds. And it takes away some time from the other speakers who want to say something. So I don't know what folks think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to something like that. As long as I hesitate to make some sort of official declaration. That my only hesitation there is that there are some topics that I think are helped if we allow a little more freedom of kind of the back and forth. So I mean, I'm all for trying, if there is a way, maybe we do start with some time limits or something like that, and see how it goes. But I think as the executive committee kind of running the meeting, we need to make sure that those people that do have points that they thought of because of what was said by someone else, that they end up getting some time at some point. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I meant by, I think it would probably make sense to have some sort of expectation for back and forth, like up to certain number of comments, or if there is going to be additional back and forth, maybe like a courtesy reminder or check-in, temperature check of everybody in the room to say, because we do this in our staff meeting, like we'll share some information, some folks will get in a back and forth, we may be running out of time, so then we'll say, it looks like this is a pretty rich discussion, don't want to hamper it. How do other folks feel in the room about allowing this conversation to continue for X number of minutes or something?
Right. I think I'd be fine with that. Ian, was that you that I heard?
Yeah, I have a few thoughts on this.
Yeah.
So first of all, Christian, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. You might have chatted with Matt, but last time for this meeting, he was emphasizing that we really needed to have a little bit more, I don't know, control, for lack of a better term. So that's kind of where my question came from toward the end of the meeting the other day. And I think the key to that is that we three need to be on the same page. And, you know, we could set some guidelines, but we should just be clear with the group. I kind of think we should be a little more strict, which is, you know, in terms of a speaker's list, we want to give everyone a chance to talk and even limit that to 2 minutes, and if people can't do it within the 2 minutes, they can save it for the, you know, second round after everyone's had a chance. I think this would naturally encourage some people and wouldn't seem, who might not speak up as much and wouldn't seem too forced, might balance the conversation a bit. And then, you know, the other minor concern I've had is when we have a discussion versus the, I don't know what we're calling, like, when Jamie explains where we are right now, I'm not always sure you know, who and whether we can ask questions, and then how much follow-up or back and forth or recommendations we can give at that point versus in the discussion time. So we might want to put some parameters around that,
so,
too.
The way it's...
I don't want to be too formulaic. I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, that some people aren't thinking that they can talk and others are thinking that they can, and some people feel sort of jilted by that.
I'd be perfectly fine with doing something like that. To touch on the issue, like, for instance, when we have what is, you know, essentially a topic expert in the room, which is what Jamie is there as, you know, it's up to us as committee members to ask her a direct question if we want a response from her. And so, I mean, I know, you know, if you know, Jamie was sitting in the room, she might take offense to that, but I would hope she wouldn't. But the reality is, if we want a response, we can have it. But also, outside of the public comment period, unless we ask for one, we don't necessarily have to have one either. And so, I mean, I believe, and staff correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of already lined out, and it might just be a matter of making sure that everyone on the committee actually knows it.
I don't think there is perfect clarity on that. Okay. I think you're at liberty to decide what the best way of running the meeting is.
Cool. But yeah, I'm open to either one of those, either or both of those things you mentioned, Ian. I just want to make sure that whatever we put in place, it is something where we do try to make it so that there will be like a second round of comments. Because, you know, I think as everyone will agree that's been in a group atmosphere trying to accomplish something, you know, normally the best ideas are the ones that come up the second round after the first initial ideas, you know, spark something in someone's mind. So I'm all for going right along with any kind of, you know, however strict of a structure you want, as long as we maintain room for that second round of comments and or questions.
So
yeah, and I think the other reason why, in addition to that, like, better ideas later, I just think it's really helpful for the overall flow, because then we don't have a situation where I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, well, here's an example. Like, Leah had a ton of comments and questions, mm-hmm. and they came, I think, toward the later end of the discussion. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if a lot of those had been highlighted up front, it would have just helped, because other people would have felt more comfortable weighing in earlier. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I guess I think it's better if everyone gets the opportunity to say something, and nope, not everybody will probably, and then we can have more long form after that, and it gets everybody's initial ideas out.
I think that sounds good.
Okay.
Katrina?
So if we set a time limit on that, what's reasonable?
I mean, I would think, you know, 2-3 minutes. You know, it's kind of the standard we give, like, during public comment and stuff. Let's see, how many total we have around the table? 13. So if we did 3 minutes, that's 39 minutes as just a first round. So maybe we do 2 minutes, that cuts it down to 26.
So Katrina just walked in the room.
Have a time after, yeah.
So what Ian and Christian were talking about is liking the idea of going around the room and everyone having the opportunity to say something briefly. It will allow the conversation to be richer. And so they're talking about setting a time estimate of 2 or 3 minutes for everyone to speak once before then opening it up to everything else.
And if somebody doesn't want to speak, they just say pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would propose 3, Christian.
Sorry, say that again?
I would just propose 3 minutes. 2 seems quick with the public testimony.
So we have all 13, so that's 39 minutes. And if we assume there's going to be at least some, you know, a second round of discussion and stuff, then we're probably committing to a minimum of an hour for any, you know, official topic that we want to do that structure for.
That's about what we budget for discussion, right?
Is that about right?
Yeah.
What we normally do?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sure, then I'm all for it. I was just kind of talking out loud through the numbers, yeah.
Yeah, like 45 minutes to an hour is what we budget.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, so at the last meeting...
Not everyone's going to take the full three or even any of it if they don't necessarily have a strong...
So what if somebody goes back and forth, then?
Well, we can dictate it. So, like, what I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, and understanding completely, but what I'm thinking is we do this for the first round so that everyone, no matter what, has their own 3 minutes to, say, put in whatever comments they want, uninterrupted. And then the second after that, if I'm understanding correctly, we would kind of open it up a little more to... not necessarily structured outside of, you know, if someone seems to be, you know, going on and on for a few minutes, then we'll do the group's dirty work and cut them off. But is that what you were trying to get across to Ian? Did I understand that right? Was it be a little more
flexible?
Yeah,
I think it's a good loose structure. I think it's a good loose structure. I mean, we could get to a point where we feel like, I don't think we're here yet, but we could get to a point where we feel like, okay, everyone needs to drop their issues on the table in those 3 minutes, and then someone's going to keep a list of issues, and then we somehow come back to those issues. Because let's be honest, if we have 30 minutes left and three issues, we know we can go deeper than 30 minutes and 10 issues. I think we can see how it works and then go there if we need to.
So maybe it's dependent on the kind of meeting then.
Oh, yeah.
So an introductory concept. We use this format. A work session, there's a little more back and forth. I haven't been to a work session yet.
I'm thinking, honestly, I think if we go
and then
as
we
just...
we need to write opinions, we're actually following the structure
that we set up
last time.
I think if we kind of start off, you know, any discussion topic... right, which, you know, sometimes is an action item, sometimes not, but, you know, any discussion topic, if we do what Ian proposed and stay to just a strict to start with, here's what the topic is, if there's a presentation, whatever, but to start with, everyone gets 3 minutes, and we can just pick at random or volunteer or start at one side and go around in a circle, and that's just guaranteed for every topic. If you don't need your 3 minutes, great. If you've got a ton to say, talk fast. You've got 3 minutes. And then we get to be the wonderful referees politely cut people off if they hit that. And it sounds, do we still get to use the clock with a buzzer? you haven't seen it yet, have you?
Uh-huh.
It's, sorry, I enjoy it
I
way too much.
It
it's fun. If we do that as guaranteed first round, everyone's going to get their 3 minutes and to say, you know, whatever comment they want, and then leave it open after that for discussion. I feel I think that would be a good way to just kind of get started on just about any topic. Because I have noticed, I mean, there are, you know, there's a handful of people in the group that, you know, are a little more reserved, but they're also most of the time the ones that have spent a lot more time actually contemplating things and have, you know, a good stuff to say. And I think, you know, with what Ian's proposed, I think that would be a good way to make sure that their ideas do get out there sooner than later in the meeting, so that we can make sure, you know, we're addressing everything.
Yes,
yeah.
So one other thought, and you two might have just mentioned this. I couldn't hear it for a second, but I'd like a little clarity around, like, who's doing that, and we could rotate, or it could be the two of you, or we can we can even just do it ad hoc, but I don't want it to appear that, like, one person is cracking down when we as a group have decided that,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd like it to be... obvious consensus.
Well, it'll definitely need to be presented, obviously, as the executive committee, as a group, decided we're going to try this. But I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe technically that responsibility does fall on Katrina and myself as co-chairs running the meeting. But if we want to get more specific than that, I mean, I'm
heck, if someone wants to volunteer to be that butt referee, I will happily allow them. It's not my favorite part of the position.
Maybe at the beginning of the meeting asking, does anybody want to be timekeeper?
We have this wonderful clock. You've got to see the clock.
Oh, yeah, with the clock. Start the time, end the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open. I don't mind either way. But I mean, it sounds like we might be able to continue to use the clock we used for public comment, which then also makes it so that none of us really have to be the bad guy, other than just to remind them that they didn't hear the loud buzzer that just went off.
Who controlled that clock?
Staff.
We have a remote control. We're figuring out how to use.
That's great.
Yep.
So
if you wanted, Ian, you could have the remote control.
Starting.
I always want to hold the remote control in any situation, but man, I gotta say, timekeeping is a thankless job,
uh-huh.
And I'll do it. But if
I can do it.
We can.
If staff can just do it automatically, and then one of you two is mm-hmm. ready to jump in, that sounds great.
There are nods in the room.
Yeah,
that works.
Okay.
I like it. You guys don't need anything official for that, right?
Nope.
We can just
okay.
say this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. The next topics are to talk about how we want to manage the next two meetings in terms of agendas, but also looking at what's left on screening criteria and security deposits before your last meeting in September.
Have you heard of a date change?
No, we're talking about screening criteria.
Yeah.
So when I talked to Jamie, I said, and I just talked to her yesterday, I said, is the proposal still meant to go forward September the 20th? And she said, yes, so that's what I'm operating from.
Okay. When was that?
Yesterday.
Okay.
When I talked to her yesterday, told her I'd talk to you, and I said, is it going forward September 20th, because
okay.
we're getting a lot of interest, and there are a lot of people responding, and she said, as of right now, it is September the 20th, so that's what I'm operating from.
Okay.
Great.
So we are all...
Then in that case, we need to spend the next two meetings drafting opinions.
So is that just screening criteria?
No, and it'll be security.
It's both, deposit. Right?
Yeah, okay. But if you remember, we extensively had conversation about security deposit.
Yep.
I think we're at a space that... it's agreeable to a lot of parties.
Oh, really? Good.
For security deposit.
Okay.
So
the depreciation schedule is no longer a point of contention.
No longer a point of contention with the
okay.
change in wording.
Okay.
And that we can talk about that offline. Screening criteria, for what I know, unless there's a huge push from somewhere else, I think Jamie's going to move forward with it. That's what she's told me. She doesn't have any reason to change the date.
Okay.
So, definitely we talked to her, but that's what she's told me yesterday.
So, we'll, as always, check in with Jamie for any updated materials or general updates when we send meeting materials to the commission. But as of right now, we're operating under the assumption that it will go to council on September 20th. It will be both screening criteria and security deposits. And so, any opportunity for the RSC to provide input before it hits council has to happen by the September 17th meeting, which means there are two full meetings before that.
And then you guys will have 3 days to draft any opinions.
So, and that's the other component. We talked about this at a previous exec committee meeting, seeing if there was a way for staff to try to get ahead and start drafting opinions.
Hence the calls that you made.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, after tomorrow, we'll have just Ian left, I believe.
Okay.
And we'll have checked in with everyone. And it seems to, as a third party to this, there seem to be people coalescing around what I could write as two letters, whether those people will agree once I write those letters and combine the opinions that seem to match together is
mm-hmm.
going to be a separate matter that might take a little bit longer.
We can send that out ahead.
Right.
Of time.
And
yeah.
So my thought is, with both of those, given the timeline we're working under, to accelerate when we'll start seeing the first drafts and allow the commission an opportunity to see how those look and revise them potentially up to two times before it goes to council.
Okay. Okay.
So just a reminder, you know, it's kind of difficult, I know, on your behalf to draft something, but it's also difficult for the council offices and the mayor to take a look at whatever you're recommending in like 2 days. You know how that is. It's like they get bombarded with things, and then it's like a 5-minute rush conversation of me basically forcing someone to take a look at something. Mm-hmm. So the more time you give, the more that the council offices and the mayor has the ability to ask for clarification and follow up.
Mm-hmm.
That's eliminated when there's less amount of time, and I know sometimes that's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind, because if the question is, what is the value of RSC? The value of RSC is the opinions of all the people who are in the field in different aspects of the work, giving an opinion in regards to something that's going to council.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes in the form of an opinion. And Andres and I and Kim were talking about that before. Everything comes in the form of an opinion in our system of governance, where 5 people basically vote. So in order to just show respect for the work that you all are doing, I think as much time as possible for us to get that opinion and have at least a discussion about it, it does more benefit for the council offices, because the other thing is just like, hey, I didn't read it because you gave it to me yesterday.
You know what'll be great? Sometime down the road, maybe we'll catch up and we will actually be bringing up topics and discussing them before council even thinks about it. And then they'll
yeah.
be like, hey, we want to talk about this. And and we'll be like, guess what? We've got this whole catalog of minutes that you guys can go through where we've already discussed it at
yeah.
length.
They'll probably come out with white pages and then, you know, do the whole
instead of just
way.
Playing, feeling like we're always playing catch up.
Right.
It'll be nice someday.
Still first year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's literally just, you know, we got to catch up. But, anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
So I think, in thinking about screening criteria and security deposits, this is a good segue into the discussion that we left off with at the last RSC meeting, which is an ongoing working group to refine, tweak the policy, make additional recommendations. I thought about that pretty extensively after our discussion, and I think that should, I would almost say, be a regular practice, because a lot of these policies that are coming forth either A, have never happened in the city of Portland, and B, have pretty scarce reputation around the country from which to compare. So I think a lot of it is experimental. We're gonna see impacts in the market. We're gonna see how it affects folks. We'll get anecdotal stories. Assuming registration comes online, we may have data. So I think it would be really important for us to establish that sort of standard and expectation
mm-hmm.
from the outset, beginning with screening criteria and security deposits. I know we don't want another reload tag,
Thank you.
In these particular instances, I don't think we have a choice. But the RSC would be responsible for managing that with the support.
Well, if we
the
did
Bureau
it, it's
staff.
The way it would work. If we did a work group, there'd be, you know, members of RSC that would
mm-hmm.
volunteer
right.
To be on it. As long as, you know, we keep under what would, most we could have on that would be 6.
7.
Seven.
Seven
would be a
seven
quorum. So
quorum,
the max
so
we could have is a 6-person work group, and they would report to RSC meetings.
Right, and if there are
and
any extensive
changes, we would
changes,
decide as a group what moves on from there.
Exactly. If there are any changes or tweaks that need to be made to the policy, that goes before the RSC first, before it goes to council, or we need to draft another opinion, the work's already happening behind the scenes for people who are interested in it. I think we should establish that.
We could. Yeah.
I think it would be important also, because I know that sometimes, even though I wouldn't want something like a mandatory reload tag for whatever process is going forward, there might come the need. Different offices generate different policies, so making sure you're talking to the policy director from the commissioner's office who's generating that and making sure they're on board, I think would be highly necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the mayor is the commissioner of the Housing Bureau.
This is coming from you daily.
Yeah, yes. So it's like, and I know that they try to cultivate having good working relationships, which is hard when sometimes you're opposed down the road to something else. So anything that we can do through the RSC to make those relationships continue to mesh would be good. And perhaps that's just the leadership of the RSC, making sure they're communicating with the policy director from the different offices when it comes to whatever housing initiative there's going to be. And that
mm-hmm.
might be code changes somewhere else, or that might be zoning that you might
mm-hmm.
want to have input on. So there's a high potential
yeah.
that it's not just going to be specifically about housing. It might have to be the tertiary effects of changes to
yeah.
housing.
Yeah.
So
lucky I
would appreciate
point
that. Makes my life just
stuff.
A little bit better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah, I'm definitely not opposed to it. I think, I think we just probably just need to bring it up, make it maybe an agenda item on the next meeting, or one of these next meetings, probably sooner than later, and see who wants to volunteer to be on that.
So are you
So we did a soft poll at the end of the last meeting. Were folks interested, or what was the...
Folks were interested. There was no opposition.
I try to ask people to raise their hands if they'd be interested, because my concern is we're going to have too many people be interested in being on the working groups, and I don't think enough people raised their hands to where people were actually responding to that question. Mm-hmm. So I still don't think we have a good gauge on how many people would want to be part of that group.
But it is something that we can or say is an ongoing structure.
Now, as an executive committee, though, another thing that maybe we should talk about, because when we're deciding to create a work group, we can also decide the composition of it. You know, just like in creating the RFC,
that's what I was
the mayor deciding the composition.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
A couple, if we have 6 total slots, you know, there should definitely be, at the bare minimum, a person that is very intimately knowledgeable on the tenant side of things, the landlord side of things, housing,
legal.
Nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
you know, legal,
right.
Stuff like that. So do we want to talk about maybe saying, hey, we're going to create this. These are specifically the slots that we've created for this.
Mm-hmm.
Who that fits those wants to volunteer to take one of those slots, type of a thing, is what I'm thinking. Well, I mean, we could go as far as appointing people, but then you never know if their schedule's even going to work for it or whatever. But yeah.
And things to also consider, if more than one of you are on it, it becomes an executive committee meeting. If more than two of the rules committee members are on it, it becomes a rules committee meeting.
It needs to be publicly notified. So yeah. I
mean, it might be better. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you probably enjoy hearing this as much as I do, but it might be better that maybe as the three of us on the executive committee, we don't join it, just so we don't cross that.
We can just say no more.
Katrina, what was your response to that?
I was saying I could never get away with that.
I'll try and attend more of your meetings. Sometimes they just overlap.
Thanks
no
for coming, Keith.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is the policy for community members?
Bye, Cuba.
All right, see you later.
Work groups?
That's a great question.
Because there may be folks that are in Christian Shop or in CAD or in Lasso that
I'll
may want to participate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we don't necessarily have to run into an executive committee or rules committee or
yeah. I've got a secretary
member.
And treasurer that would love to be able to get more involved.
Yeah, I think where it's gonna, I can look into what it would look like for the RSC to do it. The obstacle we usually run into is keeping a traditional meeting where on city commissions you can't have substitutions or replacements, so you can't sub out, you can't add people to the commission. The flexibility exists in testimony and subject matter experts who are there to present. And then another workaround would be just like forming a stakeholder group. The problem with the stakeholder group is typically they're formed by bureaus, and so it would mean the housing bureau is proactively doing policy in an area,
mm-hmm.
which we may or may not have direction to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can poke around and see what options we'd have.
Yeah, I'm sure it says in the fine print somewhere, but I feel like it would be pretty natural to say that we would have that the ability to appoint a non-committee member expert to a subgroup work group. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, you know, the inevitable
I think that's gonna
final
add
words.
Further discussion
absolutely.
Too.
I mean, inevitable final words. There's somewhere in the fine print that specifically says we can't, but I would be kind of surprised. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're talking about an advisory group of an advisory group.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on how many layers you go down, at a certain point, there's no rules for it. We can just say this is what we feel is needed.
I think that there's a really clear value.
I don't think they'd be able to vote to the extent we're voting, though.
No advisory group or work group is voting on anything official. Not even the committee members that are on it.
It's for them to
I guess I would ask then, how do they advance anything to the main group, like a recommendation?
As an executive committee, we tell them to come and present their findings.
Okay. I just feel like there would be, well, maybe that worked, but I thought there might be a disagreement around findings or recommendations from that group to the larger group, but maybe I'm not thinking the right way about how a subgroup would work.
Well, I mean, there definitely could be, and I would imagine there definitely will be, you know, disagreements, at which point I would assume we would want to be just as flexible with them as the mayor's office and city council has been with us, and that, yeah, sure, if you've got, you know, minority or just not even minority, just contradicting opinions, then make that part of the presentation.
Two people from the work group, one person representing one side, one person representing another side. And if there is no contradictory, if there is no contradiction, then you just make the presentation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can check in and see if there are any restrictions or any things to keep in mind and try to find the best format for that and bring it as soon as the next meeting.
Yeah, I think it would be really good if we could add be able to add a expert or two, because then I think that would make both Katrina and myself feel a little bit better about, you know, making sure our organization's ideas are being represented without risking crossing that line and having it be an official executive committee meeting by both of us showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Do you envision this happening before screening criteria and security deposits go to council?
It would have to.
Okay.
So it would
we're looking
be,
at a really quick timeline.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last meeting. At the next meeting, we'd set it. And then going into council, part of our presentation is, here are our opinions. Here's what the RSC has established to continue refining and tweaking the policy. It's going to be opened up to community members for richer perspective. Pass it, council. Because all these things are in place for you already.
Maybe as a group, we don't necessarily all sign off on the very last sentence.
That's
but everything
true.
Else, yes.
Sure, sure.
But everything else, yes.
Very true.
So the group would meet, including some people who aren't on the commission, and start working through what
refinements, tweaks, presentations from impacts on the community, registration data, I don't know, whatever it would look like.
Okay. I can definitely look into it.
Because there's just no way we can make policies like this
in
a period of 2-3 months.
Well, and it'll
and
be
get
good.
It right.
I think it'll be a good ongoing work group, especially knowing that, if and when it passes, that there's going to be a whatever it is, 9-month time period between then and it actually, you know, taking effect, which from what I understand we're expecting some refinements and stuff in that amount of time. So I think it'd be good to have have that, you know, established. If for some reason that work group decides, hey, we've thought about it all and there's no reason for us to sit here in this room, then so be it. If they get to that point, I doubt they will, but I think it would be a good thing.
Sure. Did you want to finalize, so 6 is the cap of people, you had thrown out the idea of at minimum having an expert from the tenant community, an expert in landlord or property management, someone who can speak to nonprofit housing organizations, and someone who can speak to law.
I would say community members, so a tenant. A landlord, maybe not necessarily from an organization, and then somebody from the social services sector.
Yeah, I guess we don't have to be limited to 6. It's just 6 committee
members.
Did we
say legal too?
Mm-hmm.
I would. So I'm thinking we probably need to get a little more specific, especially for the people from the commission. We kind of, you know, if you round it out and just kind of try to lump people in, we kind of basically have 3 groups.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we've got nonprofit and or you know, governmental housing support, as well as tenant side, landlord side. Do we want to just say 222? As far as the commission members,
Actually,
we can do additional on top of that of anyone that's not on our committee.
I think that's safe. With a limit of one rules person, one exec committee person. That's it. And within that group of six. I think that makes sense.
Ian?
I love it. I would, just in terms of process, would we solicit volunteers and then this group decides the final breakdown?
That's true. How would people get on it? Is it an application process? Is it an appointment process? Is it
it's up to us.
Whoever decides to come?
Well, first, with everything volunteer-based like this, it's who's willing.
Right.
And has the time. And then we kind of, I think, just step back and see if, do we have a plethora to pick from, or, oh, okay, well, that's all that's willing and able, then, well, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. As far as outside of the commission.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Right.
And I think the other thing to consider in terms of logistics is I'm looking at a calendar. You have 21 days until these are in front of council. Your next meeting is next Friday, so that's at the end of next week. And then you have exactly 1 week before the following RSC meeting, which is on the 18th Tuesday, before it goes to council the 20th. And so if you're waiting until Friday's meeting, the 7th, then you have a week and a half from Friday's meeting before it goes to council.
Which is fine. The charge of the group is to refine and tweak it after it's been passed or whatever.
Got it.
So I don't think that there's any
Understood.
Particular.
Yeah.
I was
a little bit unclear as to what you wanted from the group before it goes to council and what you want.
No, I think it was just to be able to say to council, in order to help make sure this policy is good, continues to serve the community, has the impacts that it wants, this ongoing work group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Going to refine, tweak, analyze, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, if the volunteers are gung-ho to somehow cram in a couple meetings and come up with something, I'm not going to tell them no.
Sure.
By all means, all the more power to them, but I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. That's probably pretty unrealistic.
Okay.
At best, they might be able to have one.
It'll happen after us.
Yeah, I mean, at best, they might have one Understood. Meeting where they say, they establish, as a work group, here's what our goals are.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know? And that's about probably as much as we can expect.
Great.
I was actually assuming no more changes to the policy unless something from the outside comes along or something.
In terms of the...
Before it goes to council. Yeah, this group would be for after.
Okay. That helps. Thank you. I misunderstood that.
What do you think...
How many reload tag?
If, say, what do you think if we do the 222 as far as representatives from the executive committee, or not the executive committee, but the RSC, and what do you think about us, I don't know, part of me wants to say kind of leaving it on them to decide how many additional outside experts they feel they need, or do we want to get into the weeds of that right now and say we're going to establish it and this is exactly what you're doing, what is going to do. Yeah. You know what I'm asking?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm failing to use my real words to express. Okay, and the big question is, do we want to micromanage it, or do we want to give them a little bit of freedom to decide if on their own if they want additional experts to be added?
So I'll give an example. We have some volunteers that come from Lewis and Clark or from Portland State University. And for a class, they want an opportunity to be able to work on something. They're a tenant volunteer, they're a tenant leader,
they've
been on the TLC. This is a great opportunity for them to plug in. There might be four of them, there may be one of them.
Right.
So I don't have an opinion on that.
I'm fine with it. I mean, like I said, there's a executive in one of our associations that, she just doesn't necessarily have the resume to be, you know, appointed to, like, the RSC and some of the other official committees, but she really wants to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I would love to, you know, make a spot for her on this, I think she would do great. So, I mean, we can definitely get that specific about it if we want to. It's just up to us.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to leave it.
So, my two cents are, since we're sort of still in the norming stage and as a committee generally, we should say like two or four and then, you know, say that we'll check in on it. Like, my thing is, I just don't want it to be too fuzzy. I want people to, like, I think it's really helpful what Katrina was saying around, this isn't to rush to do anything in the next 3 weeks. This is for the next year, figuring out what works, what doesn't, refinements, tweaks, and in terms of the process and the structure. Here's what we think works off the bat. We've discussed it as an exec committee pretty extensively, but, you know, we're open to changes in the future.
Thank you.
So maybe up to six RSC members, up to six community members. That is really low tech. Isn't it?
Well, I'm sorry, excuse my ignorance, but what do you mean by reload tag?
The relocation
technical advisory group.
Yeah.
So it was in many ways a predecessor to the RSC,
right,
where
I was involved.
Right. And so that concept of having like a technical group that meets to
we don't want that
to die. No, there's some folks who are like, it was great, and then other folks are like, that was a real time suck. And that was a drain.
Well, welcome to local politics, people. It's all a time suck and a drain.
Yeah.
you should examine what you're volunteering for before you dive in.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're getting into.
But that's kind of the idea of a work group, I think, is that
yeah.
if you have six people, that government person can go back to their committee of the other six,
mm-hmm.
or committee,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you don't have all 12 at the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one way to structure it.
I mean, I was thinking scaled back a little more, like six RSC members. Sounds like we're all kind of in agreement there. You just have as many RSC members as we can without making an official public meeting, which would be six. And then, like, I was thinking three from the public indoor experts side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's just
honestly,
so many different.
That's not a strong opinion that I have.
Yeah.
It was more just a efficiency thought. So once you do get 12 people around the room, at some point there are three different people with the exact same opinion that all want to express it in a different way.
So,
and now you're wasting time. You get what I'm saying? Like,
so in the interest of time, you have 14 minutes left in today's meeting. So what I'd recommend to you would be, if you feel comfortable with six members from the RSC at the next meeting, ask who's interested. We'll get that. You can think of how you want to formulate the ask for community member input.
Maybe the first
volunteers.
Task they need to accomplish in their first meeting is coming back to us and telling us what they think they need.
Yeah,
also possible. But I'd recommend having an executive committee meeting between the 7th and the 17th. And then you can look at who was interested or who expressed interest and pick your committee there. Your work group, sorry.
Oh, wait, not to bog us down in this, but again, I think for this group to be seen as, you know, decisive, we can say we want six members of the RSC. I feel like we're there. We want community members. I feel like we're there. And we want three, two, six. Maybe we settle on four at the outset as our recommendation, get a head nod from the table, and then say that that's open to changes in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, I think we should just be.
Okay.
Yeah, just make
come
a, decision.
To a decision on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed.
Three to six.
Sounds
okay.
good.
Yeah. Three to six community
okay.
members.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We have our structure.
Yay.
Look at us go. What else we got?
Great. So now you have to figure out what you are
doing.
Oh,
yeah. The actual meetings that we run.
Yes.
Yes.
So the last structure we talked about was what? I don't remember exactly.
Well, I'm thinking, so we've got these two meetings coming up. We haven't talked about an official structure necessarily, but I feel like we need to at least start by finishing the screening criteria, because I know there were definitely plenty of people that I had to cut off because of time.
So I've been
didn't get all everything expressed.
I've been thinking of the components breaking each policy out into two pieces: the letter feedback, which is more the big picture stuff, which I've been doing by phone call, and the technical feedback, which is what you did first with security deposits with the specific action items. And so, by my count, for both screening criteria and security deposits, you haven't finished the conversation on
any of the four. So we still have open-ended stuff from security deposit technical changes where there are a few that were left to a following meeting and a few that were deferred. We haven't formally gone through technical changes to screening criteria, which might be deferred to the group. That's fine. And then for the letter feedback, we need to talk about security deposits to read it into the record and to have that be a part of what goes into the letters. And then the conversation needs to continue from the last meeting where you were talking about kind of where everyone was at on it. So those are, and not all of those, for most of those, you are somewhere in the process of completing them. And so it's just a matter of which of them do you put in the first meeting and which of them do you put in the second meeting, knowing that what goes in the first meeting will have time to work on it between that and the next meeting, and what goes in the last meeting is just going to be, this is it, it's going to council as is.
And at some point, we kind of need to be talking about both of them at the same time, because they're absolutely intermingled, you know.
Well, Andres, quick question. Is there anything you can tell us to sort of contextualize this based on your conversations with folks?
Yeah.
Like, this is working, or this is, I'm 98% there, and there's this one small tweak.
So,
and if no, that's fine.
On security deposits, we're getting people feeling really settled on it, where they feel comfortable with it. There's not really anything they're waiting on. They have an opinion, and generally speaking, that opinion is not as strong as their opinion on screening criteria. And then on screening criteria, we have a lot more of still trying to sink into the policy and feeling like it's hard to generate an opinion with feeling like a lot of the components could change. I don't know if that helps or is what you were looking for.
It, for me,
I guess it should just
person.
Make us feel a little bit better. Cause
go ahead. No, go ahead, Ian.
Oh, I was just going to say, to make us feel a little bit better because it means something's working. But I want to hear what Katrina had to say about where it leaves us on decision making going forward.
It feels like people in the RSC respond better when something is in front of them to look at, to then say, yes, this is my statement, no, this isn't my statement. So if there's a draft, like a super early, rough draft to look at, that might help guide the conversation, or at least to a point where we can make a final decision. Here are the components of the majority report, here are the components of the minority report, here are the technical considerations or action items to be aware of. Those are final opinions. It's a lot of work on you, sorry, but.
Sure. But that does. Other bullet points, yeah.
It would be helpful at the next RSC meeting, and then we could spend the next two RSC meetings refining. Or no, it would have to be at the next meeting, based off of what Cupid said.
Yeah, we've got two.
Yeah, but if we make additional tweaks on the 17th, it's not like Andres is going to go back in the office that night and write up the changes. He's probably going to do it on the 18th. May not get done until the 19th. And then it goes before council on the 20th. So maybe that draft would be sent prior to the next RSC meeting. We tell everyone this is your final opportunity to make additional recommendations or changes to whatever your majority or minority or technical consideration reports are. The last draft will come out of a week before or something, and then it's going to be submitted to the mayor. I mean, the last time we talked about it, we were, as far as the action items are concerned, or the points of contention, we talked about taking blocks of each policy and having folks just raise their hand, do you support, do you not support, kind of thing. Are we still open to that? Or you did that over the phone, basically.
It's still an option. Over the phone, what happened is people responded more to the policy holistically, and then they call out specific sections, which I think works fine for a letter.
Right.
Is based off of what I've heard on the phone, I can group people, whether they'll agree with the grouping or not.
Uh-huh.
Again, separate matter. But I can group people into letters and highlight, like, just like an amalgamation of all the specific call-outs that people are like, but I don't like this, but I'm concerned about this, but this works well. Yeah. And then hope that people are fine putting their name on a letter that includes things that they didn't say.
I mean, that's just what's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's what we signed on for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ha! Yeah, so I can pull that together.
So, okay.
I feel bad, because I know that's a lot of work on you. But
I know you kind of already said this in a little bit longer form, but for my mental capacity, drill it down to like short bullet points. What specific task do we have to accomplish in the next two meetings to be able to come out of this with a official minority majority opinion report to city council?
Everyone has to say anything they want included in a letter. So like that needs to be like
for both topics.
People need to feel like they're done. Like you can't just keep adding things after a certain point in time. And then you haven't completed the list of action items for security deposits, and haven't formally made a list of action items for screening criteria, which again you could potentially defer to the work group.
When you say a list of action items, what do you mean by that?
So for security deposits, there was the handout that came out where you had specific, like there was a topic and then like define basic wear and tear or cleaning and filth better or change contiguous to apply to flooring,
for
not
the
just
policy
carpet,
person
right.
in office mm-hmm. to do or for okay. the council to do.
I get you.
Right. Okay. And so they were point by points like tweak this, change this, fix that.
And we have not done that for screening criteria.
Correct.
We
Some people threw it out in the last meeting, but we didn't do what we did in the first work session on security deposits, which is everyone go around, say anything you want on the action item list. We're writing them down. We'll come back to them later.
Right. Okay.
Well, do you think that there was enough from the discussion last meeting to have action items put together?
I can generate them, but honestly, not everyone...
Yeah, we weren't really done with that conversation.
Like, some people, like it was mentioned, Leah went more into the, like, in this section, like, 6AB says this, it should say this. But most people gave feedback that was more like, this will affect landlords in this way, this will affect tenants in this way, which is what we asked for to make the
letters. I asked for some changes between Chapter 7 versus Chapter 13 mm-hmm. and open versus closed bankruptcies. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've noted all of that, but it didn't come in the same format, and people weren't asked to give their point-by-point stuff in the same way.
Well?
Okay, so we need to finish our discussion on the screening criteria
mm-hmm.
and action items, and people basically press people to say, okay, stop talking, give us direction.
Well,
right,
would it be...
Just to boil it down.
Would
and
it be too much to ask people to submit it? Via email?
You can always ask.
That's what's possible.
You just take out the discussion side of things, which we don't necessarily have time for, so.
Right.
We don't necessarily have time for, so.
Because the only reason why I say that is because we're under a time crunch. And
I will say that getting email response from the group has traditionally been challenging.
Has it? Okay. Because people write 10-page books?
No, because people don't respond.
People are volunteers.
Oh. Okay.
So I think you will lose a large number of people.
Okay. Well, I tried.
That's true. Ask. I feel like it's been pretty clear that everyone can submit stuff outside of the meetings, but
or
we can remind
them.
All right. So we've got 2 minutes.
But what if it was like a middle ground? You know, here are the items we discussed the other day. You know, there are 20 items on this list. We know that discussion was cut short. Please let us know if there are other action items. We'll discuss these for the first half of the meeting or something.
Yeah,
like I wasn't in the room, so somebody call me out if this is wrong. But I do feel like even though Christian was cutting some folks short, it sounds like people had gotten out a lot of what people wanted to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be totally wrong.
No, I think so. I think that's right, Ian.
So again, like I feel like we are almost there in terms of action items. I do think that as long as it took action items was a productive way to do security deposits, or at least it felt good to the members of the RSC when they walked out of it. And that's why I asked Andres how people seem to feel. And I think that, you know, the distinction you made between one and the other, and frankly, Mike's comments, a lot of other people's comments about process, will, you know, kind of show a need for even such a nitpicky discussion. Anyway, I just think we should try to get to there in the next meeting.
Agreed.
And it could be that people say, well, there were 20 other things I want to talk about. I didn't get a chance to read the email. It was right before Labor Day weekend, whatever. Fine, then we'll take 20 more minutes and people can tell us what those are. I just don't think that's going to happen.
So, Andreas, since we're officially out of time, the information we need to get to you, mm-hmm. that we need to get through in order for you guys to have adequate time to have, at the very least, I assume, some sort of pretty much ready to go final draft mm-hmm. by our second meeting, so we can just be wrapping everything up and hopefully be making that, you know, officially we're done with this and we're ready to go on.
Yeah.
What do you propose that, what would you think would be the right agenda to have to try and meet, make everyone happy and meet those deadlines?
So I think the continuing the conversation on screening criteria is fine. If you want to generate a list of action items, I agree that that can happen pretty quickly if the members are asked to come with specific action items. They've done it before, so they know the format. So start the meeting saying, now's your time. Throw out any action items you have.
Here's your three minutes. Yeah.
And also, if there's anything you didn't say last meeting about screening criteria that you really want to get out there, now is the time to do that. And then either pivot to... It's going to be hard because I don't think I'll be able to have a draft. I don't know if I'll be able to have a summary of where people are at, like draft letters, in time to give people time to review it with Labor Day on Monday. So the second half of the meeting is the question mark for me right now. Where the first half, we can do the action items and give everyone one last chance to speak up on screening criteria for that meeting. But then what we want to do with the second half.
Do we want to label it officially, just I guess just having the commingled discussion of the two, how the two work together?
That's possible.
And then just see what comes of that, because I feel like we kind of need to have that discussion before our last meeting.
And then whatever, if the draft isn't ready by the 7th, then it comes out via email, people review, think about whatever revisions they want, ask ahead of time. This is one of those moments where we have to be like, if you didn't submit it via email, there's just nothing that can be included. You need to go into the building yourself, if that's the case. And then September 17th, we have a close, you send out a second one in between the 7th and the 17th. People make their comments, and then by the 17th, we have our third draft of the majority report, third drafts of the majority report, third draft of the minority report, and third draft of action items or technical considerations. And nobody's allowed to make big, huge changes or anything. It's literally like, what's the word I'm looking for? Grammar. Grammar checks. Grammar and spell checks.
I mean, obviously, if someone read that draft and was like, well, that's not at all what I said, okay, we'll let you make some
changes. But at that time,
changes,
you've had two opportunities to do
have
so.
Oh,
yeah,
maybe
that's
I,
what
maybe
I'm saying.
Maybe I didn't track your
that's
timeline
what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm
For some
saying
reason,
like,
I was thinking that was the first
after
one.
After the 7th, we have our action items. Several days later, or whatever, we get a draft from Andres.
Oh, right. So
people
you've seen it.
Submit their responses. You have to submit via email. We don't have a choice. You submit your responses.
Okay.
Andres
Sorry.
Sends
I'm,
out
I think
a
I
second.
Miss, somehow oh, okay. I missed that step right there, but that answers it for me. That's fine.
But yeah, and then he gives us a second one. We submit our changes, and then by the time we get to the 17th, we have a third draft.
Okay. I can try that.
What do you think, Ian?
It sounds good. My one question is, Andres, are you going to send out, or Stacey, something that says, like, I think these are the action items. Let me know if there are others, just so people have a sense of, like, so that Leah can look at that and say, yep, my seven items are right here, whoever else.
I can do that, definitely.
It's a lot of email correspondence.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And there's no
great.
Public.
And then last question. So in the second part of the meeting, is it basically like the second part of the July meeting where we took votes on security deposits? Are we doing something similar on screening criteria on the 7th?
I think that will be a chance to finish the conversation on security deposits, so vote on the last four or five action items you have from there, and then just have more of a free-form conversation about how the two policies interact with each other, because they are coming together as one, and that isn't formally included in either policy, so giving the group a chance to weigh in on that, because that's going to be more of a high-level thing that we'll have to incorporate in our work.
Okay, great. So I've been sort of out of the loop for a while, or out of office at least. So what is, maybe this is a question for Katrina. I'm sorry, it's 305, never mind. I don't need to ask it. I was just going to ask how you think that conversation will go for Katrina and Christian between, like, how the interplay happened. I guess I'm not sure that people have had a chance to think about that. So if we don't give a heads up for that, maybe that's just in the agenda. It might seem a little rushed for them to then say, oh, how do these two things work together that we've been talking about at my news level?
I think people
are prepared for that conversation.
We've been talking about the interchange.
Yeah, I mean, on the landlord side, all the groups that I've talked to and everything like that, I mean, they've kind of all just been operating with the, it's kind of just one big ordinance that's being proposed, even though it is technically two. You really can't talk about either one without it affecting the other. Mm-hmm. So at least on our side, it sounds like Katrina's side, their side of things too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it'll be a surprise. I think everyone's already been thinking about how they work. They may or may not work together.
And we'll be priming
okay, great.
By
that's
email
helpful.
Too.
Yeah.
Makes my ovaries burn.
Oh my god.
That's gonna be public record.
Wow.
Okay.
So with that bombshell, so you have everything.
I want to put on the record. I didn't hear the last comment.
Good.
So just to make sure we're all on the same page.
I'll read the minute.
Okay.
No, don't worry about it.
Please don't.
I was definitely going to repeat it. All right, so you have what we need from us, Andreas. We're good. All right, we're officially done.
You said it too loud.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, guys.